Hi, everybody. This is Sharon. Welcome to the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Oh, it's a beautiful day here. Of course, my co-host, Dr. Lake, it's always good to have him on the show. Dr. Lake, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to hear your voice.
I know we missed you last week.
I missed being on the air with you.
Yeah, we missed you last week. Of course, you know when you're not here, we always miss you. But he is so busy. Always doing either workshops, seminars, mediation. You got a lot going on. But that's good. That's a good thing.
That's right.
That's a good thing.
That means I'm alive.
Exactly, exactly. And that's a good thing. We want you in this world. And you know, we say it every week. We just want to welcome everybody, especially those who may be new to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. And of course, our faithful listeners, we just love, love, love you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in. And you know what? I tell you, Dr. Lake, it's been a minute now. We've been doing this show for a while, and it's been so exciting, and things just seem to get better and better. So to those who've been listening since day one, I just really want to stop and just tell you how much we appreciate you and how much we thank you so much for listening, supporting us, for all your ideas, your questions. Thank you. And listen, if you're new to the show, and if you have a question or a comment, just dial in 215-383-3872, 215-383-3872. And just push number one on your keypad, and you will be put into the queue for questions. Well, I want to just say that the past week has been kind of interesting for me, Dr. Lake. Life happens and things happen, and we're going to be talking about preparing for the unexpected, and we started on that series and took a step back because we had some listener questions that we wanted to answer. Of course, those questions, wow, they were big, powerful questions, but we're going to get back on course today. Finish out this topic, preparing for the unexpected. But before we do that, I just want to give you a reminder that you can listen to the Marketing Pulpit 6 days a week. That's right, Monday through Saturday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So listen, if you want to know what those shows are, the times that they are, just go to our website, www.marketingpulpit.com. MarketingPulpit.com, and you will see the schedule for the radio shows. And also, don't forget, while you're over there, take a look in that directory. Hey, if you're a business or you have a service or a program coming up, you want to put it in our directory, it is free. So feel free to use that directory. Well, you know, Dr. Lake, before we dive into preparing for the unexpected, I was talking to some folks this week, this weekend, and the week before, and some things came up, and I want to talk about it today. I really, really do. There's this place I have visited so many times. It's one of the richest places in the world, and I've visited this place so many times. I'm going to tell you where that place is, but before I do, I want to talk a little bit about why we hide our stuff. Why we hide our stuff. And I had some conversations with some very talented people, you know, this weekend, and it really caused me to start thinking about some things during my personal development time this morning. most of you know I really enjoy reading. I love doing research. And one of my favorite books is a book that my dad introduced me to years ago. This particular book talked about this wealthy business owner. He had some pretty astute managers. They were working with him. They were very talented, did their business really well, helped him to increase his profits. During the time that he was running his business, he's a multimillionaire because he worked really hard to get to that status. He had to go on a trip, and he was going to be gone for a long time, so he wanted his managers to handle things when he left. So he called in his first manager and told him, he said, listen, I got to take a trip. I'm going to go away for a while, but I need you to, you know, really make sure you keep an eye on the business. And in addition to keeping an eye on the business, I want you to take this money, and I want you to manage it, reinvest it in the company, and do your best to make it profitable. So he gave the guy some money, and it wasn't a small sum of money. And, of course, the numbers vary based on who you talk to. It was close to about $1.5 million. He said, listen, invest this. When I come back, we'll talk about it. So he called in his other manager because he was dividing the responsibilities of the company between his managers because he had acquired quite a fortune. So the next thing he said, hey, listen, I'm going away for a little while. I'm going to need you to take care of your aspect of the business, but I'm going to give you some funds because I want you to reinvest in the business while I'm gone because I want the business to be even more profitable. So he did give him maybe $1 million. Say, take and invest it, and when I come back, let's talk about it. Well, he gave one other manager. He said, listen, I'm going away. Told him the same thing, and I'm going to give you $500,000. Invest this, and when I come back, we'll talk about it. So he went on his trip. Took him a while. But he finally came back, and after when he came back, he made good on his promise. He sat down and talked to his first manager, and he was like, how's it going? I had a wonderful time. How did things go here? And the first manager was like, you know what? Things went really well here. The money that you gave me, I did what you said. I reinvested it into the company, found some great things for us to be a part of, and he doubled his $1.5 million. So the owner was very proud. We're going to celebrate later. So he called in his second manager, and his second manager, they had the same conversation, and the second manager had done the same thing. He had actually doubled the money that the manager had given him. The owner was proud again. So you know what? We're going to celebrate later. He was very proud of him. The last manager said, you know what? I really didn't want to take the money and invest it because I didn't want to lose or risk any of your money, and I just put it aside. I'm giving back to you what you gave to me. Well, the manager was like, well, you know what? That was very irresponsible with the money that I gave you because, one, you could have at least put it in the bank, got some interest on it, but you didn't put it anywhere. So guess what? He got his money back but fired him because he was irresponsible with his money. I read that story, Doctor, and I wanted to talk about that today before I went into our topic. The reason I wanted to mention that today is because we are all given certain gifts. And it's up to us to take it and use it and multiply it in some kind of way. When you don't multiply what you have been given, when you sit on it, you don't allow others to benefit from it. It's like this manager in this story. How can you be responsible for receiving more in your life if you don't take advantage of what you already have? Yeah. And that was pretty powerful to me. I thought about that, and I reflected on myself as well. Don't get me wrong. I reflected on myself. Do I sit on talents and gifts and skills that could benefit other people? And, Doctor, we wonder, why don't I have more stuff? Sometimes it's because we can't even be trusted with what we have, so how can we be trusted with more? And I just wanted to ask you a question today because, you know, I love it when you're on the show because you can come from a clinical perspective as well as just a reality perspective of what makes us not capitalize on some of those gifts?
Well, fear is like the number one reason why we don't ever accomplish what we really want or need to or should. Fear is the one thing that paralyzes us, hinders us, blocks us, obstructs us. Most of what we believe about ourselves come from other people. And people will always point out what you don't do, what you don't have, and what you can't do. And if we buy into what other people say and think about us, which a lot of us do, then the fear of failure, the fear of what people will think or say, the fear of shame and guilt will keep us from maximizing our potential, reaching our full benefits. And so fear, that's what it is.
I'm glad you mentioned that. It's true. Sometimes we're so afraid of stepping out there. We are afraid of the unknown. But there's something that you mentioned that I really want to go back to, because I think that is something that I had to realize very early on. In fact, it's something that my mom helped me to realize when I was younger. You said something about what people think and what people say. It's interesting how what your family thinks, especially those who are close to you and your friends think, can sometimes really stop you from pursuing and embracing your destiny. It can stop you because the negative talk that you get from friends or family or your associates or your coworkers or managers can sometimes stop you dead in your tracks. And a lot of people have been stopped dead in their tracks from utilizing their gifts, realizing their destinies. And I had mentioned to you earlier that there's this place that I visit quite often, one of the richest places in the world. And you know where that place is? I'm going to tell you where that place is. It's the cemetery. It's the cemetery. It is. And see, you're laughing, and I know you get it. I know you get it. And I'm not sure some people get it. You know why that's one of the richest places in the world? So many people there took their gifts, their talents with them because they weren't encouraged or because they just didn't think they had what it takes. And all of those gifts and talents that could have been turned into money and could have turned into wealth and could have been turned into intellectual property is there. And so it's there. And I wanted to just take a little bit of time. I don't always take time to reflect, to talk to our listeners about things like this, but I did want to take a few minutes to reflect on that, Dr. Lake. And I would like to get your take on that. The cemetery, mausoleums, they are some of the richest places in the world. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I would agree with what you shared. I will say that. And it's also, the flip side of that is, it's also the place where the richest people in the world are buried. Some of the richest people who ever lived are buried. And the question that will be asked of all of us is, what did you do with what I gave you? If you really are rich, you should go down to the grave with nothing. And you leave behind an influence and a legacy that will last the test of time. If you're selfish, basically you buried your jewels. You buried your riches. You didn't share. You didn't maximize. You didn't allow them to grow and bless others. I just recently read of a story of a rich man who dug a grave so deep so he could bury his Rolls Royce. And inside of it, he had all of his earthly possessions, and people were just astonished. And they said, why would he do that? Why couldn't he leave that for the poor and the needy? Because in some people's belief systems, you take your riches with you, and wherever you are going, you take them with you so that you can pay your way into the next life. And that's been a part of our religious, some of our religious systems. Throughout the ages. But I always believe that you bury not your treasures, but you use your treasures here on earth, and you leave behind something that will never be diminished.
Wow. Okay, that's beautiful. And you know what? On that, I'm going to take a short break. And I want you all to know that you're beautiful. You are. And some of you are so talented out there. You're not sharing your talent. And you need to share that talent with somebody. You really, really do. And when we come back here on the Mark Cole Bit, we're going to get it. So you throw in the towel and just settle for less. Seems you're lacking the power, thus you live with regret. But you can't stop now, maybe just redirect. What you're fighting for to beyond worldly success.
success. I'm talking world change that makes more than just sense. We all have a lane, but for others we clinch. Know you better than you, don't listen to the haters and then doubt the truth. You were made to be great.
That's right.
Act a doctor, rapper, president, or pastor, father, mother, student, anything but a loser. Keep running the race,
keep running.
Don't slow up your pace.
No, sir.
Yeah, you see them feeding, but they can't take your place. So when you hit your knees, praying to God, please help me reflect your son, and then it's all we sing. Passion burns in my heart, skills I'm ready to flex. No journey too hard, cause I'm here to reflect. Take a look in my eyes, you may see some regret. That's just purpose disguised. Go ahead, watch me reflect. Hey, watch me reflect. Hey, watch me reflect. I feel your eyes on me. Go ahead, watch me reflect. Hey, watch me
What's going on, people? It's your boy Zay Lee. Reflect Nation, stand up. And you are listening to Sharon Bennett on the Marketing Pool.
Hi guys, thank you so much for joining us. I just want you to know how much we appreciate all of our listeners. You are the best, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today. You know, we left off earlier talking about talents and gifts and how sometimes we hide and we sit on our gifts and our skills and we don't use them. But you know what? Those gifts and skills are given to you for a reason. You are unique. You are special. You are beautiful. And sometimes it's very scary getting out there doing something new. But you know what? You just take the first step. Don't worry about whether you have money if you don't have the resources you need. And I don't know about you, doctor, but I have found that sometimes when you just take that first step, you feel something in your heart, you prayed about it, you really believe it's for you, you take that first step, and it seems like the powers in the universe, you know, something happens, and what you need is there. Have you found that happen in your business before?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. All the time, seems like.
Yeah, it's happened to me several times. Well, I just wanted to leave that with my listeners. I hope you receive something from it, and I think that was meant for somebody. I don't know who it was meant for, but I hope you receive something from it. And we're going to kind of dive right into preparing for the unexpected. And this topic is something that if you haven't experienced it one day, you probably will. Just going to do an intro to it today, doctor. But we are introducing the topic, grief, preparing for the unexpected. And therapists, I know you've had to deal with this, you know, on a regular basis. But grief is something that I don't care what anybody says. I just don't think that's something you can prepare for. I just don't. I don't think it's something that you prepare for, no matter if you have a loved one who has a prolonged illness or something happens suddenly and you're just thrust into the situation. Coping with the loss of a loved one is probably one of life's most difficulties, most challenging difficulties. And if you've ever experienced the pain that comes along with the loss of a loved one, the mourning, you realize it's not easy to get through those things. And although we may know it's coming or you study about it, you read about it, you're still not prepared. So, therapists, we're introducing this topic today, and we just want to, first of all, get your way in on the introduction of this topic, preparing for the unexpected grief.
I would agree with you that there's no way to prepare. Even in situations where you know someone is terminally ill with X amount of days or weeks to live, nothing quite hits you as when that person finally leaves and passes away. So no matter what we do to prepare mentally, there is nothing we can do that prepares us for the emotional and the physical effect of what grief does to us. Grief is hard to explain. It is really emotion that comes when you realize that something you cherish and love is gone and is lost. And you're left with memories or things left unsaid or done to and with this individual or person. And there's all kinds of grief. The one we talk about the most is the grief that comes when someone passes away. But there's other kinds of grief. You know, if I lose my job that I've held on to for 20 years and I suddenly get fired, or terminated because of the lack of income for the company. That's grief as well, mourning something that is gone, that's been a part of my life. When I get older and I lose the ability to keep my energy levels up, I lose my eyesight, my hair, I got to cope with that every day, and I got to make adjustments. And so for some people, it's hard getting older and coming to terms with reality. That's a form of grief, moving from a house that you lived in and no longer can keep it up, and you have to move and go to a different neighborhood. You miss the memories of what you built there. So grief can come in all forms and fashions, and it's not limited to the passing away of a loved one.
I'm so glad you said that. My understanding is that divorce is like the death of a loved one, and then the loss of a pet. You know, people who've never owned a pet might not understand that, but if you own a pet, you've had that pet for several years, sometimes the loss of a pet can throw you into a spiral as well. Like you mentioned, loss of a job, empty nesters, those whose children are finally out of the house. Doctor, you hear about families who say, boy, I can't wait until they're on their own, they're grown and on their own. But there's something that happens from my understanding of empty nesters as well. When all the children are gone, and if you're married or if you're single, now you have to face the reality of those children not being there anymore and even retirement. This is the series that we will be going into. And, Doctor, we're also going to be talking about not just grief, but we'll talk about, of course, the stages of grief. We're also going to talk about the loss of a loved one, what happens when you lose a loved one, things you can't do to kind of help prepare for a transition. We're going to talk about those things. And for those of you who know me, you know my family, you know us very well, you know that we've had to deal with a huge loss in our family. But you know what? We've had some wonderful people to surround us. And I want to personally say thank you to all of you who have been so kind and loving to our family. Therapists, I can't thank you enough for what you have done, the things you've said. Thank you so much. I just want to publicly say that. Thank you so much. And we're going to dive into this topic. It's something we all have to deal with. And therapists, you mentioned that it's not necessarily the loss of a loved one. It could be the loss of anything that's really special to you. What are a couple other things that you think are important that we will be addressing as well as we dive into this huge topic of preparing for the unexpected? What are a couple other things you think we really need to be mindful of as we tackle this huge topic?
That there is no timetable on grief. People want to always measure things by time. That's just human nature. But grief is one of those emotions and one of those things that you go through that it's not going to work according to a certain time frame. I give myself 6 months or 2 months or a year. Come and go, and for each person, it's different. And so let's not get caught up in a time frame. The second thing is you never really, really recover. You learn to deal and to adjust the loss of something, but it'll always be there. A birthday will bring it up, an anniversary, some picture, a song, a word that was fitly spoken. There's always going to be something that will remind, that will tug at our hearts and remind us that that thing or person is gone. And so you don't ever really recover, but you learn how over time to deal with it in a positive way. It doesn't hurt as much, but it still hurts.
And that is so true. And to all my listeners out there, I want you to know that, yes, just like Doctor said, you never really get over it, but the wonderful thing about it is, and this is just a miracle of life in this aspect and this dynamic of life, the love never goes away. Your love never stop, always there. And that's probably one of the most beautiful things about the loss of anything, the wonderful memories that you have, the love for your loved ones, it never goes away. And so here on the Marketing Pulpit, we just want to make sure that we encourage you to think positive. Even in this topic, as we approach it, there's always something beautiful to replace your negative thoughts to help you through this. And therapists, I know you'll probably be talking about that, you know, your thought process as we go through this series. So join us next week when we're going to tackle this topic. We really, really are. And it's just a process of life. If people need help getting through it, how can they reach out to you if they need help getting through some type of grief therapist?
Reach me directly at 714-376-8643.
Well, you heard it right here, and thank you so much again for joining us. And know that we love you so much, and keep thinking positive. And if you've got some talents out there that you're sitting on, get off of those talents and connect yourself with some smart people. My dad told me when I started my business, if you want to be successful, surround yourself by people who are smarter than you are. And that's what we did right here today. Thank you for joining us. And to my co-host, Dr. Ira Lake, we just love you so much. Thank you for all your great advice, and thank you for joining us. You're on Sharon Marketable.